Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. Connor Newt is here today. Hello, Connor.
Hello, Jared.
So you were out on the practice field, Connor. You were my eyes and ears today at Titans practice. Was that exciting?
It was exciting.
Good. Good. By the way, I do want to start the program off by mentioning, and I will discuss maybe a little bit more of this later, but I am keeping my thoughts with the Donick family today. As many people know, the passing of Willie's wife, Erin, was announced this morning. Erin Donick was one of the finest people I know. And I don't think that there's anything more I can say just to tell you how much, and I'm not just speaking about myself, but everybody around here, how much everybody thought of Erin Donick. Other than to say that she was truly one of the finest, if not the finest person that I knew. And so we'll be keeping the Donick family in our hearts and in our prayers going forward throughout today and for a long time, because this one is going to sting, because it already stings now. So yesterday, Chad Brinker got up in front of everybody and said that Brian Callahan has changed from year one to year two. He couldn't button his pants quick enough to talk about how great Callahan looks from year one to year two. And then today, Brian Callahan met with the media before practice. Why he meets with the media before practice instead of after practice, I don't totally understand. But he meets with the media now before practice instead of after practice. And he was telling everybody about how much he's changed, how much he's learned, the new and improved Brian Callahan. Here's what he said.
I'm much more comfortable in the day-to-day, much more comfortable being in a position in front of our football team as far as the leadership roles go, the accountability goes. Those things have all become much more comfortable for me, which is good. There's still things that I strive every day to be better at. And then just managing the role. There's just a lot that goes into it from an operations standpoint, from a scheduling standpoint, from a staff management to the players to the scheme part. All of those things I've feel like I've improved tremendously in a lot of areas. And I'm really, really looking forward to getting year two underway. And I think my excitement and my enthusiasm for where we're at and our potential to be a good football team is really high. And a lot of that comes from, I think, my own confidence in the role as it is. So that's a short answer to probably what could be a lot longer. But I feel really good about where I've developed too, just like our players probably do in their first year to their second year.
The new and improved Brian Callahan. I feel more comfortable leading the team. I feel more comfortable holding guys accountable. I feel more comfortable. I heard that, and I heard what Brinker said yesterday, and I heard what Borgonzi said yesterday. Again, all positive things about Callahan, and I'm not going to lie to you. My ears started to perk up a little bit to say, hey, maybe they're just bullcrapping me. Or maybe they're telling the truth and Brian Callahan actually has really undergone a review and an analysis of his own performance last year and said, this has to be better, that has to be better. I believe you're always going to be better the second time you do something than the first time. Take a great television show. How many great television shows were better in season one than season two? Not many. Because once you have an idea of what you're doing, you know what it takes, then you'll be able to go out there and really do the job. And then I heard what Derek said on the midday show, that he was at practice today, and he said it lacked energy. The first day of practice, Derek on the midday show said it felt like a mini camp practice out there today. Connor, you were out there at practice today. Would you agree with what you heard D. May say when it came to the intensity level of practice?
1,000%.
Okay. So everybody's telling me about the new and improved Brian Callahan. Brinker's telling me, Borgonzi's telling me, Callahan's telling me. And then they get out on the practice field for the first day, and it doesn't even feel like the first day of practice? What does that tell you? And see, here's the thing about the first day of practice. The first day of practice is different than really all the other days. The reason that NFL teams now have the joint practices is because the teams get bored just practicing against themselves over and over and over again, so they get to go out there and play against somebody else. And now every team's doing joint practices, but some teams, including the Titans, are doing multiple rounds of joint practices because, again, everybody kind of gets bored just going through the mundane of practicing against yourselves every day. But it's the first day of practice. It isn't the eighth day of practice. It isn't the fourth day of practice. It isn't as if, oh, man, it's the dog day of summer. We've been going for 4 days straight. We have a day off tomorrow. We got to practice today. We're wearing pads to yesterday. No, this is the first day. This is the, oh, thank God, we're back out on the football field. And it lacks energy. See, I don't get into the words here. And I've done this with the Titans for a long, long time. The Titans will say something in a press conference, whether it's Cam Ward, whether it's Callahan, Brinker, Borgonzi, Rand Carthon used to say them, Vrabel, whomever. And Titans fans will hear something in a press conference, and they'll say, yeah! And I'm like, okay, that's great. That doesn't really mean anything to me. That YouTube video doesn't really mean anything to me. But, hey, you guys love the fact that Mike Vrabel said Aaron Brewer was tougher than a $2 steak. And you're like, yeah! And I'm like, he's 270 pounds, he can't block. I don't care about the fake peewee program with the made-up points that are worth less than tickets that come out of the video games and a putt-putt. I care about guys being held accountable. It's the first day of practice. 32 teams, or I guess 31. 32 teams around the league are in the best shape of their lives, and they are ready to go. And this year, we're going to put together a good football team, and so on and so forth. And this morning, when I heard Brian Callahan talk about the difference from year one to year two, I thought, okay, let's see. Let's see if he can hold these guys accountable. Let's see if this year will be different than last year, when last year, nobody got held accountable. PT didn't block anybody. Starting right tackle. Will Levis didn't do anything right last year in training camp. I mean, I remember, again, the Seattle practices thinking, this team hasn't gotten a first down today. And, oh, no, it was fine, Brian Callahan said. It was hot outside. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Jeffrey Simmons didn't get any sacks last year, and all he did was make excuses. During the season, special teams, a total disaster. Levis is turning the football over like it's candy. And week after week and game after game from the head coach, it was excuse, excuse, excuse. Well, everybody keeps telling me it's going to be different. Everybody keeps telling me there's a new and improved Brian Callahan, that he's holding guys more accountable, that he understands what it takes, that he knows now in year two. Even Chad Brinker, he couldn't be more impressed with Brian Callahan. And yet, here's D-Mace, a fringe Hall of Famer, who is sitting there saying, hey, man, I didn't feel like there was any juice out there today at practice. And maybe it's because they weren't wearing pads, or maybe I'm just from a different... I think Derek Mason knows what he's talking about when it comes to intensity at training camp practice. On the first day. You know, Hal Gill told me years ago, he goes, as an NHL player, the first game is the most exciting. He said it's really when you get like 10 games in that all of a sudden it starts to become a grind. And then it's like, okay, the traveling, and it's the middle of November, and the season's still got 60 games, 70 games left, and it's like, okay, now we got to get ourselves up for the games. And it's kind of hard. You know, you're not, it's not February, March where the playoffs are in sight. It's like, man, this is a trudge. But not the first day, not the first game. Last year, I was turned off when it came to Brian Callahan by the explanations that just kept getting crazier and crazier. If For instance, you remember when Callahan absolutely absolved Will Levis of any blame on a pick six he threw to Jaire Alexander against Green Bay. So everyone over there tells me that this year the Titans have a new Brian Callahan leading the operation. And yet, I need to see it. I need to see it in order to believe it. I'm sorry. I just don't do the trust us. Just watch us. Just listen to us. We're telling you, the new Pee Wee program has been put in. This is going to work. You'll see, Jared. And then I have Derek Mason out there saying, yeah, it lacked serious juice for the first day of practice. As D-Mace put it, again, he said, it felt like a mini-camp practice. Do we really buy the new and improved Brian Callahan? 615-737-1025. That's our phone number. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025 here on our program. Plus, the Titans, speaking of Callahan, they posted a fiery speech Callahan gave to the team. But there's one thing about this fiery speech that I could not get over. We'll get to that next. Dominic Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
Energy that I felt when you guys came back in the building. I feel your confidence. I feel your excitement, right? Our execution, our effort, and our elimination of sins, right? That's the Titans trio. You want to see execution, you want to see unbelievable effort, and you want to see a team that plays a clean brand of football. Those are the things that we're focused on. What I get motivated by is the way that you guys came into work today. That's what motivates me. That's what gets me excited because I know what we have in this room because I believe and what you guys are capable of. And when you come in the building and you wake up in the morning, that's what should get you going, is that you know you got a group of guys in here that have put a ton of time and effort into it, and that we're going to be a team that plays hard and makes life hell for any team we play, because we are capable of being a damn good football team. How many days until we play our first game? Anybody know? 47 days. So we should feel the urgency every time we walk in. It should be urgent as shit. We have to make each other better every day we step out.
Oh, Brian Callahan getting all fired up. That's right. 47 days to kick off. Let's go, boys. Let's go bring it in. Team on three. 1, 2, 3, team. So, let me say this. The Titans put out that little rah-rah speech out on Twitter. Connor, have you seen the video of the Brian Callahan speech?
I have not.
So, it's on the Titans Twitter. And I already know people are going to lose their crap at what I'm about to say, but I must have watched this video like six times. First of all, Brian Callahan, you know, being like, I believe we could be a damn good football team. You know, make of that what you will. But there's one part of this thing that I could not get over. And it's why I kept going back and rewatching this minute-long speech. Brian Callahan had on a backwards Titans cap. Like, he was wearing it, like, with the Velcro part facing, you know, like, again, the bill to the back and the backwards cap. And I just kept seeing this, and I thought, the head coach? The head coach wearing a backwards cap. I know Dan Quinn does that, but I think Dan Quinn kind of is out of, you know, I think he's out there in La La Land anyways, but that's the one guy I think in the history of football who's ever been a head coach that's worn a backwards cap. And my Uncle Mark, 20 years ago, used to go crazy when he would see players wearing backwards caps, and he'd be like, say we'd be winning a game, and he'd be sitting there, he'd turn that cap around, and I used to always laugh about that. But it's one thing for the players to wear backwards caps. It's one thing to wear a backwards cap at your house or when you're out on the lake or whatever it may, but you're the head football coach on the first day of camp and you're trying to give the team this big fiery speech and you got your hat on backwards? What? And so I was sitting there thinking to myself, why am I so bothered by this? Are you bothered by it, Connor? Are you bothered by the head coach looking like a total stooge with a backwards cap on, trying to give this rah-rah speech to the team?
Probably not to the level you are, but it is a little cringy to me.
So I'm trying to figure out why I'm so bothered by this. So I asked ChatGPT. I said, why does it bother me that Brian Callahan in this rah-rah speech is wearing his cap on backwards? And here's what ChatGPT said. Quote, it bothers you because it feels like it violates what you subconsciously expect from a head coach, especially in the NFL where leadership, image, and authority are part of the job. Wearing a cap backwards is casual, maybe even juvenile or defiant in tone. And when it is, in bold, the head coach, you likely expect professionalism, authority, attention to detail, and a sense of command. Not the same vibe as a guy tossing a frisbee at a tailgate. There's also probably a contrast between Callahan's appearance and your internalized idea of how a head coach should present himself with guys like Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel, Tom Coughlin, or even Nick Saban. No nonsense, all business, football guy energy. So when Callahan wears his hat backwards, it might trigger questions like, does this guy take the job seriously? Is he too casual for the moment? Or is he more of a coordinator than a leader? Even if irrational, it can feel like a subtle sign of something bigger. And in a profession where perception matters, those little details can nag at you. And I saw that and I go, oh my God, that is part. That's it. That's it. What did I say 2 days ago bothered me the most about Brian Callahan? Was that it felt like as a coach, he was too caught up in the nonsense. Again, we talk about these coaches of Nick Saban. He's a no-nonsense guy. And with Callahan, he's all nonsense all the time. So now he's going to get in front of the team at 5'8", 190 pounds. He's going to get in front of the team and he's going to give them this rah-rah speech about, I believe in this team. Not 20 minutes after the general manager and the coach or the general manager and the president got up there in front of everybody and said, yeah, we're going to stink this year. He's like, I believe in you guys. And he's wearing a backwards cap. Nick Saban. Do you think Nick Saban would ever wear a backwards cap and give a rah-rah speech to the team? I mean, I would love to sit down with Nick Saban, put on that video of Brian Callahan with his backwards cap on and say, hey, coach, what do you think about that? And then, on top of it, as I'm watching this video and I'm thinking about all these other coaches. You know, I watched the Football Life documentary on Tom Landry, and they talked about how Tom Landry, when it came to his relationship with the players felt like Tom Landry didn't have a soul because he was just coaching football. He couldn't be friends with the players. He couldn't have. Tom Landry wore a perfect suit and that token hat, that, you know, hat that represented. And Brian Callahan's up there in front of the team with a backwards cap on. I mean, again, when people tell me things like, oh man, Callahan, he totally gets it now this year. This dude, he totally understands it. And then I see, again, the Titans put this video out there. The Titans put this video out there as like a pump up for our fans. Like, hey guys, Coach Callahan, he's letting them hear it. And he's got his cap on backwards. I'm thinking, what a clown show. Like, button it up over there. Let's go. And instead, we got the head coach with a backwards cap on. The 3-14 head coach with a backwards cap on. How about a whole guy's more accountable this year? Oh, my goodness gracious. I saw that. I could not believe it. And I think it's right. Again, when it comes to a head coach, I want a head coach with authority. I mean, he's yelling and screaming in front of them, but does he have authority? I want a head coach with attention to detail. I want a head coach with professionalism. And he's out there wearing a backwards cap. A backwards cap is not what I think of when I think head coach. So, again, the Titans keep telling me about how great Callahan is. Even Borgonzi, who has no skin in the game. When it comes to Brian Callahan, Mike Borgonzi did not hire Brian Callahan. Mike Borgonzi was not even here when Brian Callahan got hired. And when they decided to keep Brian Callahan, Mike Borgonzi wasn't a part of that equation. But even he yesterday went all in defending Callahan. And then they put out a video with him giving a rah-rah speech to the team with a backwards cap on. And then after he gets up there and talks about how, oh, yeah, no, I'm much more comfortable year one to year two, leading the team, talking to the team, attention to detail. You know, this we definitely, this year, I've totally got it. Managing the coaching staff, they go out there on the first day of practice, and Derek Mason walks out there and says, they just had no energy out there for the first day of practice. Goodness gracious. Again, keep telling me. Keep telling me how great the coach is. Guys, 3-14, never won anything, didn't hold anybody accountable last year. And he can't even wear his cap the right way for a head coach. And I'm not somebody who's never worn a backwards hat before. But there's about 18,000 pictures of me. Do you ever see me wearing a backwards cap? Have I ever hosted the radio show? We've been doing a live stream now for 5 years, I think. Have you ever seen me with a backwards cap on the radio show? A backwards cap. Oh, it's again, maybe I'm just a little, you know, maybe I'm a curmudgeon or something, but I saw that. I couldn't believe it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on that if you want to weigh in here on the program. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Connor was at practice today. So what did Connor think of the Titans practice and how it compares to what the Titans thought of the Titans practice? We'll get to that coming up and your phones. A lot of you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025 here on the program. It's Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
I think everybody been waiting on this moment. OTAs and minicamp what it was, but I've been saying it all day. Football is officially back. It felt great to be back on the field, moving around with everybody. I'm sure y'all saw what we started out with on the defensive side. Them down 40 up downs, but you know, that just the mentality, you know, from what I saw from the guys, like, that's what we want on this defense. The mentality, we got to bring that mentality back. No matter who we're playing against, no matter who we line up against, right now it's all own teammates, but you got to have that mentality that we're going to do it anyway. Put your head down, go to work, and that's what I saw with them up downs. And you know, then transition to go against the offense, that was great. Got to clean some stuff up, but for the first day, man, like, the energy, the excitement from guys when you walk into the building yesterday, today, you know, is there. And, you know, we know what as well last year and don't want to really talk about last year, but, you know, we know what it was and we know how it felt. The way we came in today was what we need as a team going forward. So it felt great to be back.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons today saying, hey, football is back today. Practice. You guys saw the intensity with all the up downs that we did today at practice. Up downs. Okay. So Connor Newt, you were there today because I heard Jeffrey Simmons after practice talk about practice like it was a good practice. Cam Ward said, oh, it was mid, you know. But then D Mace was on the midday show and he said, man, it felt like a mini camp practice out there. It didn't feel like the first day of training camp. So you were out there today at practice. What were your takeaways?
I 1,000% side with D-Mace. There were times where I felt, what are we doing here? We're just kind of walking around. It's worth noting, I texted you this as soon as I saw it. As Brian Callahan was giving his press conference, I was looking to see, you know, who's missing, who's not coming on the field yet. The last three starters to come out of the locker room, maybe even the last three players. You'll love this. Chigakonkwo with a cold brew iced coffee, Arden Key, and Jeffrey Simmons. And I was like, okay, that's the usual suspects.
Chig had to get to Starbucks before he could get out there for practice. Sorry, coach. I got to go to Starbucks first to get my iced latte before I get out there on the field.
It was pretty funny. I was like, oh, Jared would have loved this. But Chig. As far as 7-on-7 and team period, Cam looked all right. They ran a lot of short passing plays, nothing super deep. The connection between Cam Ward and Calvin Ridley was pretty off today. There were a few times where Cam overthrew Ridley or he dirted one ball. But other than that, I would say Alec Iomanner 1,000% gave his all today. He was probably the best player on the field, in my opinion.
Okay.
Not to drink the Kool-Aid or anything. That's just what I saw.
Alec Iomanner. So he got the game ball for you today for practice?
Yes. He gets 3 points for the Connor Newt Pee Wee program.
There you go. A plus three for him, minus three to Chig on the Pee Wee program for having to get his coffee before going out there for practice. So you just felt like they were just kind of.
I mean, to sum it up for you, as far as
meandering around.
Yeah, as they were meandering around, and to sum it up for you in one moment, again with Chig Okonkwo, there was a DJ there. He was playing whatever music, and they played the gritty song, you know. They're all, the first team is all in the huddle, and Chig is off in the side dancing. That tells you everything you need to know.
Excuse me, what?
So they're in the huddle.
So, like, Cam Moore's trying to tell the guys, like, all right, shoot 90 right, zig 25, queen, X out, double wide, Q, X, double. He's trying to do that, and Chig's out there giving a dance while this is going on?
It was like he was on America's Got Talent or something. He was just.
Was Chig supposed to be on the field playing, or was he off to the side, like.
I guess he was rotated out because I think Wiley was in, but still, I mean, shouldn't you be in that huddle listening to what you should probably be performing in the next run?
Chig. So make of that what you will. Because everybody today is like, Jared, you're a hater. And I'm like, D-Mace is the one who said it. Connor was out at practice. He's the one that said it. One texter says, and our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, do you think the players were not energetic today at practice because they heard the press conference yesterday and heard how bad this team was going to be and wondered why they should even show up? I think that's a fair point. You know, I did think about that, which is, you know, again, I'm not going to get on Brinker and Borgonzi because I think it was the right call for them to tell the fan base yesterday, this is not going to be a good team. Do not get your hopes up. Do not think this is going to be a good team. But I also thought about it when I heard the backwards cap rant from Brian Callahan, where he's like, I believe in this team. And it's like, how can you be, you know, all in on, I believe in this team, when at the same time, the general manager and the president of football ops just came out yesterday and told everybody that they don't believe in this team. So I'm not going to say that's why they had a lack of intensity, but I do think that there is something to that, and that is going to have a negative effect. I think as a GM or, in Brinker's case, whatever the hell is to president of football operations, I would have just sucked it up and said what I said. Like, I'm not criticizing them for saying it. I would have dealt with the fact that the players may not like it. Fine. You don't believe it? Prove us wrong. But I want the fan base to know, like, hey, get ready for a long season. So if you don't have a long season, then everybody will be surprised and happy by it. I keep trying to remember what it was like in 2016. Because in 2016, nobody thought the Titans were going to be very good. They had made a lot of moves. You know, they weren't splashy moves, but they had made a lot of moves. Ben Jones, DeMarco Murray, Rashad Matthews. And for some reason, with Malarkey and his old pawpaws and John Robinson making moves and Mariota at quarterback, for some reason that year, like, I don't remember being optimistic about the season. I remember most people thinking the team was rebuilding and was going to be pretty bad, and they ended up 9-7. It was almost shocking at the end of the year. I don't think there's anything bad you could have said about that season. I remember they played a game in December at Kansas City, and Ryan Succop is kicking a field goal from like 55 yards away in like minus 10 degree weather. And I'm sitting there watching him kick it. And remember, Andy Reid called timeout as Succop had the first try and he was short. So he got a second try and he drilled it. And I remember he was going to kick it. And the Titans hadn't been good for 6 or 7 years. And I looked at my dad and I said, God, I've missed this. I miss when these games used to be competitive and good and matter and playoffs. And that was a shocker that year in 2016. But I don't remember the preseason and training camp, but I don't remember thinking, ah, this team's going to be so bad. But I remember nobody thought that they were going to be good. But I don't remember everybody saying, oh, yeah, they're bad. Sean says that Callahan's rant sound hokey as hell. Colin Nashel says, Brian Callahan couldn't motivate me to get up to make a ham sandwich. Might be the worst motivational speech I have ever heard. That comes from Cole in Louisville. One of my buddies actually texted me before the show that I guess, you know, the Titans have put it. I saw it on Twitter, but I guess it's on TikTok and YouTube shorts and all that kind of stuff, too. the Callahan backwards cap speech. And as I was, he said, and to think that they hired this guy over Mike Vrabel. And I did kind of laugh, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it's kind of hard. One Dexter said, you're really ranting about a backwards cap. I got to say, yes. I mean, I can't get over it. Like, I must have watched it 10 times. I think a lot of you are thinking, like, the idea of a backwards cap more than what Brian Callahan looked like in a backwards cap. Like, I saw this, and I'm like, who is this guy preaching in front of the team? Like, oh, I just, again, there's Nick Saban, and there's that. Which, I don't know. Joey from Gallatin says, Brian Callahan's speech was reminiscent of John Hines telling everybody that the Preds are going to be hard to play against. I don't see any change. And anytime I hear Jeffrey Simmons speak, it angers me to my core. That dude is so out of touch with reality. I heard Simmons' press conference today, and I don't think Simmons said a single thing that was worth noting of me saying, oh my God, Simmons said that, which is a step in the right direction for Jeffrey Simmons. So I'm going to give him credit there that I listened to an entire Jeffrey Simmons press conference. He answered all the questions. I think he talked for like 20 minutes, and he did not have a Jeffrey Simmons cringeworthy, my God, Jeffrey Simmons. We played one cut from an interview he did last week on NFL Network where he was like, my job is to make Cam Ward feel comfortable, which is not his job. And he started it off by saying, we don't get the respect we deserve. And I'm thinking, you were the worst team in the league last year. You don't deserve any respect. And Cam Ward doesn't get the respect he deserves. And I'm like, oh, my God. Well, again, 20 minutes of Simmons. Not one moment today where I said, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Got to give credit where credit's due. Very easy to complain about what Simmons says 95% of the time. If there is a 5% where he holds a whole press conference and says mostly everything the right way, tip your cap. Although Brian Callahan would have to reach behind his head to tip his cap because he got a backwards cap on. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I can't get over the cap. One texter says, the hat is the same analogy for the Titans as a whole. If this offense puts up 30 points a game, then fine. But when you are as bad as they are, you have to do everything by the book. You know, I agree with that. Now, once you become an established, successful brand, you can do whatever you want. And then all of a sudden, it becomes colorful. It becomes part of your personality. It's swagger. But until you've walked the walk, it's just unprofessional. That's what it is. That's how I feel about the Titans. You know, Joe Burrow on the Netflix documentary, he's sitting there with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and they're talking about vacation spots or how he bought the Batmobile or whatever. And nobody's going to look at that and say, you know what? Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins need to focus on football instead of worrying about their vacation spots. But because Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins put up about 800 yards a game of total offense and 7 touchdowns, nobody's going to say anything about that. I would agree. Again, rock the backwards cap. If you win, that's swag. But when you're trying to establish yourself, when you're trying to get people in the town with which you coach to take you seriously, and you've got on a backwards cap and you're trying to give a rah-rah speech, it's hard for me, again, to compare it to Nick Saban. One texter says, what if Amy wants a manager and not a leader? Because you can't handle a leader that will go to her and point a finger and say, I need this, I don't need that. I don't think it's that. As much as I think it is, Amy wanted the opposite of Mike Vrabel. And you've got the opposite of Mike Vrabel. If you had to say to me, who do you trust more to develop an offensive scheme, Brian Callahan or Mike Vrabel? The answer is Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan's a nicer guy than Mike Vrabel. Brian Callahan is more understanding than Mike Vrabel. He's nicer to the media. He kisses more ass than Mike Vrabel. That's what she got. And it wasn't like Vrabel was doing everything right. It wasn't. But I think next time they hire a coach, when they go hire a coach for the next coach, let's not just try to hire the opposite of what the last coach was. Let's just try to hire the best coach. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on the program. Chris Sanders will join us next on the program. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 for the game. First day of practice in the books for the Titans. I was not there today. Connor was there, said that he felt like there was a lot of just meandering around. D. Mace on the midday show said that it felt like it lacked intensity. It did not feel like the first day of practice. He said it felt like a mini camp. Chris Sanders joins us now on the program. Chris Sanders, when you hear a Derek Mason say that he felt like practice lacked intensity today on the first day of camp, what's that tell you?
I mean, it's. I'm not saying it's concerning, but it's a little concerning because when you get to the first day of practice, you're excited. Everybody's running around and wanting to make plays, and you hear the first thing you hear is a lack of intensity. I'm not saying it's a concern yet, but you got to start building your identity, and you start building your identity from the first day. Listen, when I first came out to camp, there was fights on the first day when you had Blaine Bishop, Marcus Robinson, Stevie J, guys like that that practice hard on the first day because we had an identity, wanted to win. I'm not saying this team doesn't have an identity, but, man, if I'm coming in the first day of practice and D. May says that there's a lack of intensity, I'm not saying it's a concern, but it's a little head-scratcher.
What do you make of the Brian Callahan situation? What I mean by that is Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi yesterday said, man, Callahan, he's got a real command of this team, and he's been great this offseason, and he's made a lot of progress. And Callahan today said he really grew from year one to year two. And then D. Mace is out there saying they don't have intensity on the first day of practice. Yeah. It's hard not to put that on the coach. What do you make of the new and improved Brian Callahan?
Yeah, but see, it's not just Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. You got to have players that's going to lead. When you talk about leaders on this team, Jeffrey Simmons is supposed to be a leader. So if I'm lacking intensity and guys are walking around or guys are just kind of just chilling, as a leader, I go and pull guys aside. Okay, listen, do we want to win? Do we want to make a run at the AFC South? Do we want to go to the Super Bowl? Or are we just going to be a mediocre team? So it doesn't just start with your head coach. It starts with the players, and if you don't have a player-led team, you have to have the coach to get you excited. Another head-scratcher, and I just think that that's a concern.
Chris, the Titans put out a video of Brian Callahan giving a rah-rah chant to the team.
I heard.
I couldn't get over the fact that he was wearing a backwards cap while he was doing it. He looked like a slob, you know, sitting there telling him, like, man, with the backwards cap on, like, hey, I believe in you guys. Now let's go out and go smoke something, you know, like, let's go. Your reaction to that? Am I too over the top? Robbie Stanley says I'm a 95-year-old man. I mean, I could not do the backwards cap. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's not just a backwards cap, but you. I just think sometimes it's the voice with the cap. Sometimes, I mean, you know, if I'm a tough, big, physical guy, I'm not saying, you know, Callahan's not, but if I'm a big physical guy, I'm gonna have a hat backwards, you know, show a little intimidation. But when you have the physique of Justin Bieber and you're trying to have your hair back, it's just a little different, and it's coming off kind of, you know, a little different. So I'm just being careful when I say that.
You're being careful. You're not saying anything.
I know. I'm just saying it was just a little different. I'm just going to leave it there. It was just a little different.
Chris Sanders with us on the program. So what did you make of Brinker and Borgonzi yesterday basically coming out and saying this team's not going to be very good this year?
That is a bad thing to say. I mean, you said all these other things that are good and everything that are positive, and basically you look at each other saying we're not going to be a good team. So if you don't have your leaders, you know, having that confidence, even though you might not be a good team, then you don't think that's gonna trickle down to the players. I mean, even though, you know, if the team is not gonna be good, I think they're gonna be okay. But you still want to have that confidence. You still want to have that little swag. You still want to have something, some chutzpah of yourself to say, you know what? Even though we're not gonna be good, I'm still gonna tell the media, I'm still gonna tell the league that we are gonna be good. And that's the approach that I would have taken.
If Floyd Reese had said, by the way, nice use of the word chutzpah there. If Floyd Reese had said, when asked about the Super Bowl, well, that's the goal, but we got a lot of work to do on this team. How would you have felt as a player?
Hey, I mean, you know, it's kind of like watching Different Strokes. When Willis would say something, or Gary Cohn would say something crazy, he'd be like, what you talking about, Willis? If he would have said that, if Floyd Reese would have said that, we'd have looked at him like, man, do you believe in us? Do you believe in, you know, the coach? Do you believe in the players that we have in? But the guy that Floyd Reese said, he would basically say, there's some things that we need to improve, but I still believe in this organization. I still believe in these coaches, and I still believe in this player. So when I have my guy, Floyd Reese, saying those things, I'm going to run through a wall. Why? Because he believes in what we're doing. He believes in our identity, and he believes that we're going somewhere. So that's
but don't you think, Chris, don't you think it was a good idea for Brinker and Borgonzi to be honest with the fan base about what to expect this season, as opposed to how it's been the last couple of years where, oh, we're going to be good, and then they're awful?
No, but you can't do that. You can't come out and say, well, we're just going to go out here and we're just going to get, you know, win one for the Gipper. A lot of people are not going to follow you in that aspect. You know, the thing about it is because I coach at Montgomery Bell Academy, 90% of my talk is motivating. Is motivating guys to run the route, motivating these guys, and but making them believe that they're the best receivers that we are best receivers in the state. So if I'm a general manager, if I'm a head coach, I'm going to make sure I motivate these guys and make them believe that they're the best in the league. I'm not going to come out and say, well, you know, let's just chalk one up. Yeah, we got a rookie quarterback. You know, we got an offense line that's okay. We got a secondary that we don't. You don't say those things like that, because if you don't believe, they're not going to believe. But if you believe, they're going to believe. That's the difference.
Chris Anderson with us on the program. Chris, I know you've known Willie and Aaron Donick for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I do want to just give you some space here.
Yeah.
If you want to say some words. Again, Aaron passed away yesterday, and we're all keeping Willie in our thoughts. So I just open the floor up to you.
Man, I appreciate it, man. You know, I hope Willie's listening. Just let him know that, you know, where he's in our prayers, and we love him. I don't want to just love him as a brother on the radio, but I want to let him know that I'm a brother that you can count on. And I know a lot of times we always say this, and it sounds cliche, is that, you know, let's just pray for him, pray for the family. But I want to do something different. I want to actually pray, take about 30 seconds, just pray for him and his family, if that's okay. So I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We lift up Willie and his family. You know, we had a tough situation, but Father God, I just pray that you cover their family, cover Willie. I know this is a tough time, but let them know that you're here to comfort him, Father God. I just pray for you know, his kids, his family, and everything that's going on, Father God, let him know that he's covered, not just by a band of people, but with a band of brothers with 102.5. So, Father God, we thank you, we trust you, and cover him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Chris, I appreciate it, and I know Willie does too.
I appreciate you, man. Hey, tell Willie I love him, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders joining us on the program. Here and again, the news today that Willie's wife Erin passed away, battling a year-long battle with cancer, and it's tough, real tough. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. We continue 1025-106 of the game.